Always great to catch up with our friend Kelly Solomon from the Cardinal Newman Society for our Newman Guide News on a Tuesday. So, Kelly, I immediately thought of you and the great work that you and the Society does when that story broke on that decision out of Maryland from the Supreme Court where parents have a right to opt out of their kids being indoctrinated and groomed. I mean, wow, what a big decision. What are your thoughts and what was the discussion at the Cardinal Newman Society after that decision came down?
Yes, certainly good news coming out of the Supreme Court ruling in favor of parents in the LGBT curriculum dispute, that definitely that parents are the primary educators of their children. And so we applaud this decision. We're grateful for those parents, Catholic, Orthodox, Muslim parents who teamed up to bring this decision forward. And it's also a good wake-up call for Catholic families everywhere about what's going on in our public schools and issues to be aware of.
Yeah. I mean, it really is amazing if you think about it, because all the parents were asking for was to opt out their kids. They weren't saying cancel everything, don't do this. They just wanted the choice to say, no, my kids are not going to be exposed to that. And then, first of all, they came out and they said, okay, fine. When they first came up with these horrible books that are indoctrinating kids, they said, well, we'll tell you when we're going to bring this material forward and we'll let you know when you can opt out. And yes, you can opt out. Then in midstream, they changed course. And that's when all the lawsuits started to be filed. But all the parents wanted was the choice to say yay or nay to what their students were receiving in the classroom.
Right. And these issues come to deeply held religious belief. They were looking for opt-out coursework that endorsed the views that there are more than two genders, that a boy can become a girl, or that homosexual marriages are moral. And, of course, as Catholics, you know, we need to make sure that our children are being formed in a proper understanding of the human person, of human sexuality. And that district had only permitted opt-outs in narrow circumstances, mostly related to sexual education in health classes.
So what do you think? Do you think this is going to set precedent? I mean, does it make a statement to other districts that are trying to do this across the country?
It definitely does, and it also shows us that these issues are being pushed in public schools, that Catholic families need to know that, you know, there are teachers pushing things like there are more than two genders and that homosexual marriages are moral, and this has become a part of the curriculum and coursework. And so what's a Catholic family to do? You know, let's look at what other options we have available. Let's see if there's any way that we can make a faithful Catholic education affordable and accessible to Catholic families.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because if any case or story in recent weeks emphasizes the importance of a truly Catholic education, I mean, this one's got to be up there, right?
It sure does. I mean, for me as a mom, I think, wow, not only do I not want my kids to experience that in the classroom, but I want them to see the total opposite, the true beauty of the human person and John Paul II's teaching on theology of the body and the vision of the human person from a really Catholic perspective. And so, you know, these families are doing good work, making sure that others are aware that this is going on, that children should not be subjected to this in the classroom. But I think we as a church need to find more ways through a variety of models to make Catholic education accessible. Certainly cost is a big issue of why many Catholic families are choosing public education today.
Yeah, I know there was a story, I didn't have a chance to discuss this with you, but I was just reading it in some of the headlines that I was recording for the network, but there's a story that there are some Catholic schools that are merging because of lower enrollment, and Catholic universities actually, lower enrollment and also trying to be more accessible to students and to making Catholic education at the higher level more available. Do you see that happening elsewhere?
Yes, we do. It seems like it's sort of a reckoning time for Catholic education. I mean, many Catholic colleges are closing, especially in the last couple years. More than 100 Catholic schools close every year. And so what we see is that families are being more and more drawn to where really faithful education is thriving. And so the most faithful schools and colleges are thriving. There's a growth in independent lay-run Catholic schools, a growth in Catholic homeschooling, hybrid models. And so I think Catholic education needs to be flexible and accessible. And we also need support in any way that we can, that every Catholic family can experience this. I know, Teresa, you and I have talked about the example of Father DeSalle. He's a pastor out in Virginia who provides scholarships to his parishioners to switch from a public school into one of the faithful Catholic schools in his area. And he doesn't have a school at his parish. He's just so motivated by the issues he sees in the public schools around them that he wants to do what he can to support Catholic families in good Catholic education.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a Tuesday, and this is our Newman Guide News segment with Kelly Solomon from the Cardinal Newman Society. Yeah, the report on CNA, it says a change is taking place amid a national trend of decreasing enrollment, which has affected colleges of all sizes across the country. Though some Catholic colleges, and this is your point that you just made, Kelly, CNA reports have continued to grow in spite of the trend.
That's right. College enrollment is down overall. Newman Guide colleges have grown 22% in the last 10 years, which is really exciting about the renewal that's taking place in Catholic higher education today. But unfortunately, many schools that have strayed from their mission, we see them closing, and we see that increasingly families are becoming choosy when it comes to both school and college choices, and they want to know exactly what kind of education and formation their child will be receiving.
Has this increased in terms of the interest in knowing what's going on? Not that parents don't care, but many parents may trust more, and not that they shouldn't be trusting, but may trust a little bit too much and not doing enough investigation into a particular school. Did COVID open the eyes of parents a little bit more to this issue, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. As students came home and parents were able to look over their shoulder and see what was going on in their coursework, in their lessons, I think many Catholic families became aware. I've talked to some homeschool programs recently who reported that, you know, their Catholic homeschool programs grew substantially during COVID, and they were able to retain many of the families even after schools opened back up because they saw the beauty of what Catholic education can look like. And stories like this one that we're discussing today, Teresa, I think make Catholic families aware of what's going on. It's, you know, families are busy and there's so much going on. It's sometimes hard to keep track, but stories like this are really important to see that these books, like this Pride Puppy story that's being taught to preschool children, is just so disappointing and so important for Catholic parents to know.
There was the Pride Puppy book. There were several books. One was about a little girl attending her uncle's wedding to another man. And there was another book about a trans student. My name is Penelope or something like that. And these students were as young as three. So these are preschool kids as well as kindergarten and early education,
wow.
You know, early grade school. Just, I mean, seriously, what do you need? What does a 3-year-old need to see any of that for? Or a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old? It's just so ridiculous. Kelly, when we come back, we could talk more about that. But also, there was a Catholic mom. I'll see if we can dig up the video. I'd like to play it for you. There was a Catholic mom who did some great interviews on why she wanted her daughter pulled out of that program in Maryland. And her daughter, bless her heart, is a special needs child that was still being exposed to this nonsense out in Maryland. More with Kelly Solomon on our Newman Guide News segment Tuesday. We'll be right back. Having a great conversation, as we always do, with Kelly Solomon, our Newman Guide News segment on Tuesdays. And today we're talking about a number of issues facing education, as we always do. And we're highlighting right now that story that broke out of Maryland with the Supreme Court upholding a parent's right to opt their children out when their children are being taught things that are against their religion. This is such an important story. And also, I know it's in line with an email that the Newman Society recently sent out. But just getting back to the craziness of this all, we're talking about, and they were trying to claim, oh, well, we're just reading them. They're just reading books, as if that, you know, would be okay with the content, because it's not. But it was a culture that they were forming. They were trying to get the kids to engage in all these different conversations on these issues and talk about, you know, their words, their pronouns, and look up certain things online. I mean, it was definitely, I took it as grooming. What did you think?
stories can be so powerful. How do we share our culture and our heritage with students? It's through stories. You know, it reminds me of how Jesus taught through his parables, his stories, and how stories, right, when they are used well, can be form the Catholic imagination, have a right ordering of the will and the intellect, share on our best stories from our entire culture. It reminds me of our Catholic reading list here at the Cardinal Newman Society, our reading guide for the Catholic reader that includes a wide variety of Catholic books. And how much better if they would expose students to these timeless pieces of literature rather than these modern stories that push these agendas, like transgender agendas and pushes for same-sex marriage.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can remember books in grade school, I mean, and that my English teacher wanted me to read, and some of them, they're just such classics. And to this day, I appreciate the fact that she taught me that. You know what I mean? It gave me a love for reading and a love for good literature.
Absolutely. Those stories are, they bring to life our Catholic imagination, and they lead us to truth, beauty, and goodness. I mean, what's better than reading C.S. Lewis, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series, right? Or mm-hmm. Little House on the Prairie series. There's so many great series and stories for our young children in education that could be shared with them.
Well, tell us, I know you sent out an important email to your followers and those who sign up for your e-blast. What was that about? And this is in relationship really to what we're talking about this morning, too.
Yes. So when issues like this come up, like the Supreme Court ruling in favor of parents over this LGBT curriculum dispute, the Cardinal Newman Society monitors issues like this. And we keep our Newman Guide school and college leaders informed on these issues and also any action they should take or any policies they should put in place to help protect themselves. And so we put together a new newsletter called the Newman Guide Defender, and we scan legal, policy, and ideological issues which impact our Newman Guide schools and colleges. And this is just one of the benefits of becoming Newman Guide recommended, that you have the Cardinal Newman Society doing this work for you and providing the latest on these developments in various areas, from employment to government funding to accreditation to academics to students to religious freedom, essentially all aspects that could impact a Catholic school or college from these various sources. And so, you know, the Supreme Court ruling in favor of the parents, that's one case we, you know, would highlight for school and college leaders so that they're aware of. We talked about school choice in their latest newsletter, including New Hampshire being the latest state to expand school choice,
yep,
offering grants for students to choose, you know, Catholic and other faith-based schools. We talked about accreditation. There's this scandal at Columbia University where the Department of Education is challenging Columbia's accreditation because it embraces race-based policies and teaching. Academics, et cetera, students, counseling issues. So it's just another great resource here at the Cardinal Newman Society, and a great encouragement, I think, to Catholic school principals across the country, that we encourage and welcome you to apply for the Newman Guide and be kept in the loop on the latest going on in Catholic education and how to defend yourself from these threats.
Well, I think it's great because, as you said, we're all busy and it's hard to keep up with all of this, because this happens sometimes at breakneck speed, and it's like you're going to get dizzy trying to keep up with everything because there's so much breaking news and there's so many attacks on, you know, the good, the true, and the beautiful. So this is super important. I mean, you've got a couple of really good several really good stories that are very recent. Ted Cruz, of course, Senator Ted Cruz, introducing the Universal School Choice Act, proposing up to $10 billion annually in federal tax credits to support nonprofit scholarships that expand access to private education nationwide. Florida sets example regarding school choice programs, showing expanding such initiatives nationwide can strengthen Catholic schools and improve opportunities for low-income students. These are stories that we're not necessarily going to hear about, because unless we are, like, doing this 24/7, looking at news stories, or, you know what I'm saying? Because it's tough. We're all busy and we like to keep up with the news, but we can't cover everything.
Exactly. And when it comes to Catholic educators as well, they're extremely busy focusing on the education of their students, as they should be. But these threats are real, and the Cardinal Newman Society can help keep them informed on everything from school choice to accreditation to academics. You know, we pointed out these issues going on with counseling right now. The Cardinal Newman Society joined an amicus brief in a recent case challenging a Colorado law infringing on constitutionally protected speech by imposing gender ideology on therapists. And so Divine Mercy University is one of our Newman Guide recommended institutions. They organized the brief, and it was signed by several other Newman Guide colleges, including Belmont Abbey and Walsh University. And we highlighted this for other education leaders because we're concerned about counselors and the importance of them being able to be formed in an authentic understanding of the human person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm looking at this story from Santa Clara University. A student in a graduate course on human sexuality says she was required to watch a sexual bondage video in class. What?
Yes.
I mean, come
and
on.
And write her detailed sexual autobiography.
I it's very rare, as you know, that I'm speechless, but I don't even know what to say. This is what they're being, this is what they're being exposed to. This is just unbelievable. And then you have politics over science, a Harvard professor stripped of tenure after falsifying data. Oh, that was an interesting story. I remember that story in multiple studies. Now, she's supposedly doing research on, wasn't she, what, ideological virtues or something, and yet she was falsifying them?
Right.
Or something. What was her field of study? I forget, but it was so ironic that she was called falsifying what you know, her research.
Yes. I can't remember exactly. It was ideological visions.
Wait a second. I'm pulling it up here. Yeah. But this whole thing, though, it's so super important that you're doing this for people, because people need to know this information so they can be aware of just what they're up against in terms of sending their kids to school when they go to college, right?
Yes, exactly. And what does faithful Catholic education look like? And what are you going to face if you enter classes at Santa Clara University, right? Here's an example of what we're seeing. Here's an example of what we're seeing in all of these religious freedom issues and how Newman Guide schools and colleges are putting into place policies to uphold strong Catholic identity, to defend themselves against these legal threats we see coming down the line, so that they can remain faithful to their mission.
Yeah. Well, we found that clip of that Maryland mom, and it's 5 minutes long, but what I'd like to do is I'll just have Richard roll a little bit of it to hear from this Maryland mom defending her decision to join this Supreme Court lawsuit. And they were victorious in the school in the District of Maryland, or the area of Maryland. And I want our listeners to hear this again. And Kelly, I'd like your response. We'll run about 2 minutes of it, and then you can give us your thoughts on it. So Richard, if you could just roll it for a bit. This is a Maryland mom who was part of the case in the Maryland schools where parents were simply trying to opt their children out of LGBT agenda courses. Classes for kids as young as three, and the Supreme Court said they had the right to do that. Okay, roll the tape, Richard. Thank you.
Talk now with one of the parents who first brought this case in Montgomery County, Maryland, Mom Grace Morrison. Her attorney, Michael O'Brien, joins us as well. So, Grace, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Montgomery County first removed the opt-out choice in 2023. You're a mom of public school kids in Montgomery County. Why did you bring this case?
I brought this case because my husband and I have an adopted daughter from Ukraine. She had been in the public school system for 7 years. She is a child with special needs. She has Down syndrome. And we became aware that in her special needs classroom, they were presenting books on sexuality and heavy topics of gender ideology. And we became very alarmed by this. Then to find out that we could no longer opt out of these materials, nor be even informed of what she was being taught. The books were being presented and discussed. So we had to make the very difficult decision to remove her from the school system. And that came at a great personal cost. And we have been, you know, walking through this case. So today we are really rejoicing to have those, by the Supreme Court, to have those rights restored.
So how much of this was because of your child's special needs, and how much was it because of whatever religious objections you and your husband might have?
For our family, this material was directly opposed to our religious beliefs. We are Catholic, and The things that were being presented were in complete conflict with our Catholic faith, and we were raising our daughter in the Catholic faith. So it was especially difficult for a child with special needs to not be able to understand why the teacher was teaching one thing and then to come home and be told something else. It just added another level of difficulty.
So I'm going to put up some of the books now. Let's show them if we can. One is about a puppy lost at a pride parade. One is about a girl attending her uncle's wedding to his partner, his male partner. Another one is about a young person discovering that they are...
Okay, Kelly, well, you get the message, but here's this mom. Imagine that. Her daughter, a special needs child, is being exposed to all kinds of things, and then she has to pull her out of the school because it's that bad. But thanks be to God, in the Supreme Court's wisdom, they realize that parents should have a say in what their kids are being exposed to in schools.
Absolutely. I applaud this Catholic mom for taking this into her hands. And one thing she said where she said, no, my daughter's learning one thing at school and then the opposite yep. thing at home. Right, that really stood out to me because as young people are learning and growing, they need that consistency. They need to know the truth. And I really applaud this Catholic mom. I hope that she can find a home in a good, faithful Catholic school that welcomes her family and her daughter. And I hope that her example really helps more Catholic families learn that gender ideology and other ideologies are being pushed even more, I think, than most Catholic families realize in public schools today.
Well, that statement is really what you're all about in terms of you're trying to raise them Catholic, and then they go to school, and that can be all lost if they're not protected or if you're not involved in terms of what they're learning. That's so, so important. Kelly, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. I wanted to get your perspective on that. So what else are you working on for the summer for the Newman Society?
There's always so much going on here. The Cardinal Newman Society, we're excited about this new Newman Guide Defender email that we're now sending out to Catholic educators across the country with all these latest threats and how educators can be prepared. And we're already planning for our fall college fair that's hosted online, Teresa. So excited
Great.
To share about that in coming weeks.
Okay, we'll have to talk about that soon. Kelly, thanks so much. Great to catch up with you. Kelly Solomon from Cardinal Newman Society with our Newman Guide News on Tuesdays. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.